Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. I make this show for you, and I hope that you really enjoy it. I have a lot of people that ask me how they can support the show financially, and you can do that by heading over to patreon.com/preacherboys. You're going to get access to exclusive content, including early releases of episodes. I've got a couple episodes right now that have been released at least a month early over on Patreon. You've got access to things like unique merch, depending on what tier you join, and you get access to some behind the scenes content that I'm posting within the group. So head over to patreon.com/preacherboys and become a member over there today. Every single supporter helps make this show a little bit more possible, especially as I continue to add additional episodes and content every single week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get back to the show.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. To find more information about the Preacher Boys podcast and upcoming documentary, visit PreacherBoysDoc.com or connect on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Preacher Boys podcast. I'm going to do a follow-up to a very well-received episode that I did back in January where I responded to one-star podcast reviews and negative feedback on the Preacher Boys podcast. And I've got a couple really good ones for you guys. You're definitely going to want to stay tuned for the whole episode. And first, before I get into the negative, let me just share a couple of the really positive ones that have happened here since that time. One of them says, Eric is a pro for such a niche podcast. I find the entertainment value extremely high. Always a go-to show. That's from Jake Gallen. I have one from Momming123. It says, certified sex coach here. This topic is so silenced and causes decades of shame and relational challenges for men. I speak to so many men with childhood trauma and see firsthand how it impacts them later in life. Talking tackles taboo. Keep the conversation going. This one says, it's from Beautiful Keen Jean. It says, information that needs to be heard. Growing up in an uber religious environment, I understand how these tender topics absolutely need to be out in the open. And let's find one more. This one says, oh, this is from our friends over at the Church Split. It says, necessary retribution. The show is so needed nowadays, not because we need more gossip, more scandals, or more shock and awe either. We need this show because it holds people accountable and gives healing to various victims. Thank you, Preacher Boys Podcast, for being bold enough to do what you do and teaching people to always be vigilant no matter where they are. So there you go. That's a couple of the positive reviews. Now, let's get into some of the negative reviews because, as you guys know, there are a lot of folks that don't appreciate the show the way that the people that I just mentioned do. So let's go ahead and jump into the first negative review. This one's honestly not super hateful. This is just kind of a suggestion, I guess. This is from NC Big Dave. It says, too long. I listen to all your podcasts and YouTube videos. The content's needed. Well, thank you. That's good. It says, but podcast and videos need to be a 30-minute max. I really used to agree with you, and like I try to keep it as short as I could. Yeah, with anything that's a solo episode like this one right now, I try to keep them a little bit shorter. With interviews, I try not to cut them down too much. I want people to be able to share what they need to share. I've definitely gotten, I believe, better at moving the conversation along. But I hear where you're coming from. What I've heard, though, from the majority is that people want more and they want longer episodes. And I always pushed against it because I thought that people would lose interest. But when I put out polls and stuff in the Facebook group, people just go nuts for like the longer interviews. So it is what it is, I guess. Everybody has their own preference on it. I definitely agree with the 30 minutes. Like, I used to love driving to work and having a podcast on the way there, podcast on the way back, but I get what you're saying. This one is from Old Time Preacher. This one says, whining. You're such a crybaby, grow up. You can't handle any preaching, waste of time. Very thoughtful, kind rebuttal there. I think this one would be an awesome t-shirt. If you guys agree, just drop a comment that says t-shirt, because I think I think we should make these and give them out or something. And then this one is from SlippyBR549. What's up, Slippy? It says, you had me, then you lost me. Story of my life. It says, as a former member of several IFB-leaning churches, though not the worst kind, I was interested in your reporting on abuse issues, plus some of the guest interviews were informative. However, you lost me after the episode about the curriculum being connected to the Capitol riots. I'll explain that in a second. It says, giving a favorable platform to a HuffPost writer, questioning whether the public school system is indoctrinating kids. Seriously, where have you been? Disparaging private religious schools using vouchers, and worse, connecting these Christian school curriculums to the Capitol riots is shameful. Apparently, I misunderstood this to be a pro-Christian podcast trying to help victims. Clearly not. So basically what they're referring to, he or she, I'm not sure who this was at Lithis Review, they're referring to an interview I did with a writer who used to work at the HuffPost, at Huffington Post, or HuffPost, whatever, Huffington Post. And basically I interviewed her because she had written an article talking about the Abeka Christian curriculum and the way that it teaches history, the way it teaches about civil rights and different issues like that. And so there were a lot of people who had read the article. They were sending it to me because I talk about the IFB. And I thought, okay, this is a very divisive article. I'm going to bring her on, ask her about her research. There were things in the article I agreed with, things I disagreed with. But I just thought we could have a conversation, be open, let's talk about it and kind of have an open discussion. I think that's important. And so, again, on the show, she said some things I agreed with, some I didn't. I gave some pushback in some areas. She gave some pushback in areas. And I thought it was a really beneficial discussion. I do think that, you know, when we talk about the public school system indoctrinating kids, like, we have to understand Christian schools are doing the same thing, just with different types of curriculum. So I think it's important to, you know, look at that issue and look at school systems and work on teaching kids how to think as opposed to what to think in a lot of these cases. And so, yeah, I think there was some critique of both public and Christian schools in the episode. But like I said, I wasn't having her on because I was trying to push some kind of agenda. Like, I wanted to talk to her because a lot of people had mentioned the article. And she was very kind. I thought our article was very good. I thought there were some things that, you know, I wouldn't have said or pushed as far. But that's okay. We can disagree in how we handle these kind of things. This one is from Victor and not Victom. I guess that's a play on the word victim. It says, bathing in toilet water. After listening to this podcast, I feel like I just took a bath in toilet water, and our good host has tried to convince us that we have now become spiritually clean. What a powerful first sentence. Our host is an embarrassment to the cause of Christ. As someone that has spent the last 30 years helping people in over 60 countries, as see that our good host is mentally myopic, intrinsically bitter, and spiritually bankrupt. I can see that your North American culture has blinded you from your victory in Christ and exposed your lack of spiritual objectivity. I have no comment on that. Next is, this is from Austin KJV. It says, Hamblin is a straw man. I've been in the IFB for 10 years. I'm an associate pastor. I know a large percentage of people in the movement. I've never heard of John Hamblin until these podcasts. I don't know what to tell you. John Hamblin is a notable figure in the IFB. People in the IFB would say that. He may not have been popular in your circles, but if you haven't heard of him, you just haven't been listening. John Hamblin is very well known, and he's definitely not a straw man. He represents a large amount of people in the IFB, and he's hosted in several churches every year. So definitely not a straw man. This one is from 76 Runner. It says, pass. Ouch. It says, Eric is very intelligent, obviously extremely compassionate toward those who have suffered abuse. Thank you. However, many of his guests seem more interested in gossip rather than in proclaiming truth. What's more, if you're looking to make the scriptures your final authority, just know the scriptures are usually used, if at all, merely to support an argument rather than allowing them to speak for themselves. Personal experience seems to be more important here than objective truth. Look, I understand what you're saying. This show is not a philosophy or theology podcast. I definitely have episodes where I talk to people that I'm interested in discussing some of those things with, and so that will come up in conversation. But ultimately, the show is about personal testimonies and experiences. So if you're talking about what the show is going to emphasize more, it's going to be a lot of personal experience. And, you know, and my guest might use scripture in a way that you disagree with, and I might use scripture in a way that you disagree with, but ultimately it's about people's experiences. This show is about people's personal stories. It's not, you know, what is the original, you know, this say about the end times. Like, we're not going to go deep into some of those topics that some other podcast might do and might do very well. And our show might do from time to time, but it's not the primary goal. And so I do appreciate the kind words about myself. I appreciate, you know, recognizing that there is compassion behind this. But you know, if you're upset that there's too much of a personal experience being shared versus, you know, more of like a lecture about, you know, scripture or something like that, then that's something I would have issue with, because that's not the purpose. That wasn't the goal. This one is from Kentucky Grace 63. It says, overall lacking in depth. This would be an interesting podcast, but I find the interviewer lacking in well thought out questions and really doesn't offer anything to the podcast. This would be better with someone who that has even a little bit of authority in this matter rather than a guy who just seems to have a problem with the church he grew up in. Overall, either get a new interviewer or learn how to do this better and stop wasting people's times. I forgot about this interview till just now, and it's really funny. And if you're watching this, like, you know, I don't think you will, but don't feel bad. But this is actually the only review that I've gotten since I've started the show that stopped me in my tracks, and I felt really bad reading this. And it was actually late at night. It was really stupid. I felt really dumb about this. But I got in bed, and it was like 11:30, and I went to go just check reviews, check downloads, all that stuff on the show. And I saw this article or this review. And here's the thing, just a quick thing. Like, when I see a 1-star review, they don't really bother me. When I see a 5-star review, they're very kind. But, you know, unless there's like a big story or something, then it's like, it'll be really powerful. But like, the extremes on either side don't really affect me their way. Like, obviously I like seeing the positive, but like when I see a 1-star review, like where my show's completely without merit or they completely hate everything, that has no effect on me emotionally whatsoever. Because if you can walk away from anything and just give it 1-star, like, I feel like the issue is probably more with the listener than with the content. Because I get it. If you don't like me, that's fine. But with the guests I've had on, like, if you walk away and go like, oh, Elise Fitzpatrick, 1-star, you know, like, that's probably you more than it is the show. But when I see a 3-star, those are the ones I pay most attention to, because they obviously appreciate something, but they have some critique. And so I read this really ready to take in this feedback. And when I read like, oh, the interviewer doesn't add anything, get a new one, or stop wasting people's time, I was like, man, it like hit me. And it hit my ego, you know, like I was like, man, that's really, really harsh. And that hit me in a big way, because one of the things I do really pride myself on is the interviews. I pride myself on doing a lot of research for the interviews. I really do put a lot of thought out in my questions. I know I definitely sometimes catch myself mumbling or stumbling and things like that, which is normal. But this one really hit close to home. As far as the well thought out, I definitely do put a lot of research into the show. I can guarantee you that. I do understand what you're saying about authority on the matter. But I would say I've really tried to bring in a lot of experts to fill in the gaps where I don't bring in the expertise. And what I do take from this review, though, is it just encourages me to do better research, encourages me to ask some better questions, take more time, and continue bringing in experts that can fill in the gaps where I can't. Because you're right, I'm not a psychologist, not a legal expert, would never claim to be and will never claim to be unless I become one somehow. I'm going to keep bringing in amazing people like Dr. Beth Allison Barr and P. Samadhi and Tiffany Bloom and all these folks that can really speak into these things. But I do appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate you not just dropping a 1-star, and appreciate the constructive feedback in a big way. And it was a good humbling moment for me reading it. This next one is from C. Wilhelm 1. Good work being done, but 1-star. I was a fan. Your podcast is admittedly hard to listen to, but then you interviewed someone whose allegations have been found to be completely false. The particular case was thoroughly investigated by the police and was found to be wholly untrue. Do you actually, and I believe you meant to write, do you actually vet your guests? Okay, so this one I definitely want to respond to, and I'll be quick, but I want to be thoughtful about this. And this is an interesting one to end on. So I've had, over the course of probably 160 episodes. I'm really not sure how many there are now. I have had a lot of guests come on the show. I've had a lot of stories shared, and a lot of really powerful stories have, you know, come across the desk, and I've been really blessed to talk to a lot of people. As far as whatever case you're referring to, and I say this to say, in 160 episodes, I've had a handful of episodes where people have reached out and said similar things. Yeah, there was an investigation, nothing was found. There was a, you know, this person's crazy. This person made this up. This person's bitter. And look, here's the thing. When it comes to vetting my guests, there's a couple things that come into play usually. And everything is a case-by-case basis. Everything is different. Every situation is different. But when it comes to, you know, quote-unquote vetting my guests, there's not a ton I can do to give a bulletproof, you know, yes, they're absolutely telling the truth. Because I'm not a police officer. I don't have all of the evidence in hand. I don't have this. But I do try to listen to their story, really get a, you know, listen for any immediate red flags. Generally, and I want to be careful because I don't want to say anything that would, I don't want to say anything that would disrupt the privacy of anybody that's been on the show. But most of the people that have been on the show, I've had another victim reach out privately and confirm. Or I've had other people who have told me of something that's happened. There was one case in particular where I had someone on. I was told, you know, hey, you should have had this person on. Their story's been misproven. And I sat there, and like what I couldn't say in this particular case was, I had five other people that could confirm that this person did the things that they did. They didn't want to be public, but I've been reached out to by multiple people who could all share the same experience. And this has happened time and time again, where I've had people on the show. You know, like I said, it's probably been a handful of times where someone says, why'd you have this person? Or this person's story doesn't check out. Like, 9 times out of 10, I have other victims that have come forward to me privately. And there's a roster of people I could interview if they wanted to come forward. And I'll say another step beyond this. There are several stories. There are several stories. I mean, like I said, there's been 160 episodes. I probably had hundreds of conversations or emails from people who've shared stories where either they don't want to talk, which is very common. They just want to tell me their story. They are scared to talk. They come to me, they do an interview. There's at least 6 episodes that have been recorded that have been on pause for over a year because they decided to pursue legal action. They started an investigation. They found that there was some evidence. By the time that a guest comes on the show, I'm convinced of their story. I've never platformed somebody where I have a second guess in my mind that they're telling the truth. And ultimately, my role is not to be the detective. It's not to be the judge and the jury. That's why I was very intentional with every episode. Everybody is innocent till proven guilty. My job is to give those who have a story the opportunity to tell it. It's to the best of my knowledge, make sure that they're credible or at least, you know, honest and things like that. And I can tell you for a fact, I spend hours and hours on the phone each week. My wife could tell you this. I spend hours talking with people every week who are giving me extra details, looking into things for me, providing me with other victims' names. You know, there's some big churches that I haven't shared stories about where I've got a 60%, 70% you know, or even I have 100% certainty of something that happened, but I have no witness to come forward. And so this is frustrating to me when people want to say, oh, do you even vet your guests? Do you even research? I put a lot of time. I put a lot of, you know, I make sure I'm certain when I bring someone on. And there's not a single guest in my lineup that I'm uncomfortable with their episode being out. And if I was, I would take it down. And when I've had guests that have, you know, accidentally said a date incorrectly or have messed up a fact, I've issued a second follow-up video. When I did the video about Mike Zachary, there were some dates and things that got incorrect, which is normal. But I went in and did an update and put that out. When it comes to, when it comes to like, oh, the police investigated, didn't find anything. A lot of these times, police are investigating 30 years later. You know, they're investigating 40 years later. It's past the statute of limitations, so they can't investigate. It doesn't mean that nothing happened. It doesn't mean that the person's story is invalid. It just means that that investigation never went anywhere, which is a very common story. And so I want everybody to know that the credibility of the show is very important to me. I take it very seriously. And if people realized how many cases are at some of these churches, it would shock you. If you realize some of the people that have been talked about in the episode and the fact that there's 5 or 6 or 7 victims, like there's been places I've talked about where I've talked about 4 or 5 or 6 victims and there's 3 or 4 more or 7 more or 8 more that haven't come forward publicly. And so, look, I do the best I can. Can mistakes happen? Yes. And when they do, I'll address them. But I can guarantee you that I put as much effort as I can into ensuring the credibility of the show, the safety of my guests, and the safety of those that come forward privately and share their story with me. Because that's very brave. It takes a lot to be willing to do that. But I don't want to end on such a low key note, but that's the last one that I have. But I hope everyone knows, like, this show and the survivors on it and the stories that are told on it are very, very deeply important to me. And I do everything I can to protect the integrity of the show and all of the past, present, and future guests that'll be on. But not to be a downer at the end of the episode, but I really do love everybody that shared their story, and I feel really good about the podcast. And there's a lot of good feedback that I've implemented, and there's a lot more that I need to learn. And I appreciate you guys giving honest feedback, whether it's an honest 5 stars or an honest 3 stars or even, I guess, an honest 1 star. But I don't know how you walk away with a 1 star. At least give a 2 star, if not for me, for my guests, because I've had some great guests on. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'll catch you guys in the next episode. And I really, really appreciate all the ongoing support of the show. I know I say that a lot, but I mean it a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc. Additional information can always be found on PreacherBoysDoc.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.